So NTI Acts chapter 11 in my book, the Kindle, starts on page 235. How is it in the paperback? Same? Mm-hmm. Page 235? All right, so starting with verses 1 to 18. The words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the authority within the world. They are the only authority in a world that seems absent of authority. And so it is this authority that is given. Now, one thing that's really funny about this chapter, now that I remember what it is this overuse of the word authority. It's almost like Holy Spirit is really trying to push up our resistance to authority. And so this word authority is really being used a lot. But one thing that's really interesting is, you know, when Holy Spirit says the words of the Holy Spirit are final, you know, they are the authority within the world, Holy Spirit doesn't mean, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. If I'm having a reaction to this word already, this word authority, Holy Spirit doesn't mean the word authority the way I'm understanding it if I'm having a reaction. You know, if I'm having a reaction to the word authority, I'm thinking of somebody who's the boss over me, right? That's how I'm seeing the word authority. And what Holy Spirit really means is that Holy Spirit sees truly and we see falsely. And obviously truth is an authority over false. So, for example, we were talking about last week's assignment that everything is an expression of freedom. And we were talking about just seeing everything as an expression of freedom. You know, and Priscilla mentioned that she had prayed asking to see as God sees, and she realized that that's how God sees, is everything is an expression of freedom. So if she practices that, she is seeing like God. That's the answer to her prayer. Well, that would be the vision that's final. Like when you come to see everything as an expression of freedom, and that becomes natural for you, and you're no longer judging, that really is going to be a final way of seeing. There's nothing in you that's going to want to return to judging. You know, once you feel the freedom of seeing everything as freedom, that's where you also want to be. So that's what's meant by this authority is final. It's more like it's a final resting place. Like once you get there, there's nothing in you that's going to want to return to ego, because you'll have the contrast. You'll remember what it was like when you had that judging mind and when you were resisting the way somebody else was being and you weren't able to accept it. You'll remember all of that. And when you move into seeing with Holy Spirit and having that relaxing way of seeing and experiencing, that's going to be your final resting place. That's where your vision will rest, because you won't want to return. So again, I'll read the first paragraph again, then we'll move into the second paragraph. The words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the authority within the world. They are the only authority in a world that seems absent of authority. And so it is this authority that is given. The authority of the Holy Spirit is not a coercive authority, for no authority can be coerced upon the Son of God. The authority of the Holy Spirit is a welcome authority brought about within awareness upon invitation and with willingness. So like I said, after reading the first paragraph, if I'm having a reaction to this word authority, it's because I'm understanding the word authority differently than it's intended. Again, I'm thinking the boss of me, you know. When notice, it's not the boss of me, because the Holy Spirit says it's not a coercive authority. You know, nothing is going to be forced upon you. This seeing, this ability to see, for example, everything is just the expression of freedom. The ability to joyously accept everything is not going to be forced on us. So the word authority has nothing to do with the boss of me. You know, that thinking isn't at all what is meant by this word. Starting with sentence 6. The one who knows his own authority knows his self, and he welcomes it. The one who does not know his own authority makes one for himself and is confused by it. And so it is. The words of the Holy Spirit are final. They are the words of true authority and true welcome. When they are recognized, they are welcomed, and all illusory authority must give away. I think they should probably say give way. I think I have that documented as an error in the book that hopefully will be fixed at some point when they do another printing. It actually looks to me like they just did another printing, so maybe I could check and see if they corrected these errors. The new books that we just received have, they look like they were, they have different covers and the paper is different. So, and yes, I think they've done a second printing, so I can see if they corrected the errors or if they just printed the same old book. but again, this paragraph is really emphasizing that when we come to recognize the Holy Spirit's vision, we aren't going to want to return to the vision we had before, the illusory authority, the way the ego was seeing the world. We're going to really relax and we're going to welcome this new vision of seeing. And we're just not going to want to go back. There's nothing in us that's going to want to go back. So again, it's the final authority by our own choice, because it's what we want. The authority of the Holy Spirit is a great joy that fills your heart and leads you to do the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit, which means it does not come from you or any illusory authority. It comes directly from the authority of Spirit, and it is known in you by its joy and its authority. The Holy Spirit is within you because you have accepted it there. It is waiting in peace for the time in which you will invite it to come forth and be authority through you. It is an authority you will follow and you will be, that you may lead by its word and be within your awareness. Ramana Maharshi calls this abiding as the self. And so what this is really talking about is, you know, at first we perceive the Holy Spirit as separate from us. And we think, I want this, and Holy Spirit is going to take that away from me. Holy Spirit is my enemy. And so we are afraid to surrender because we think that surrender is a sacrifice. But if we start practicing surrender, even in little ways, you know, in the areas where we're most willing to practice it, what we start learning is every time we surrender, actually what happens is we're brought into circumstances that bring us greater joy. Certainly it may be something that we thought we would never do, but a joy comes with it. And in fact, one, you know, really outlandish example is that one time when I was at a conference, I met this woman, and I only knew her for like 30 seconds when I heard in my mind guidance to invite her to live with me. And in fact, my reaction was kind of an internal, say what? And then over the next half hour, as I got to know her a little better, what I found out about her was that she really was a criminal. She was a thief. She had been arrested and imprisoned twice. And she was from California, and she was really afraid because in California they have a three strikes and you're outlaw, which means if you're arrested a third time for anything, then it's life in prison. And so she was really scared of being arrested a third time and having to go to prison for life. She was a crystal meth addict, you know, and at this time I had a 13-year-old daughter. And it certainly didn't seem like, you know, this was the kind of person that you would want to invite into your house when you have a 13-year-old daughter. So what I did, just to make sure it was guidance, was I asked, I said, I'm willing to do this if this is really guidance, but I need confirmation. I need to make sure I'm not imagining this. And over the next 3 days, I actually had three very clear confirmations. So there was just no doubt in my mind that it was guidance. So I invited her to live with me, and she did. But what's amazing is, first of all, there was never any any hurt brought to our household over it. Like, you know, Jasmine was never affected, I was never affected, there was never any hurt. But also, it's almost as if Holy Spirit opened my heart and placed this special love for this woman in my heart. And like, I love her so much. And Danielle knows her, so Danielle knows what I'm talking about. I just enjoy being in her presence to this day. We got to go visit her. She lives in San Diego now. And we went and visited her a couple weeks ago in November and spent some time with her. But there's just so much joy for me in being around her. Right now, she hasn't really changed in a lot of ways. She's changed in some small ways. She doesn't steal anymore, as far as we know. I would say she's not really a drug addict anymore. Would you say she's not a drug addict? She smokes pot now, but she's off those harder drugs. So there's definitely some improvement that's happening there, but there's also still a lot of confusion and pain and acting out that happens. But still, I'm so grateful that Spirit led me to her and that I'm able to love her. It also feels like such an honor. You know, this woman is judged by everybody. Her father judges her when her mother was living. Her mother judged her. Her partner judges her. Everybody judges her. And it feels like such an honor to be able to be the one who just loves her, you know? So, you know, you would think, you know, that my rational mind, at least the way I was, you know, the culture I came out of and the way I was brought up, you know, you would think that there's no real joy inviting this drug addict, criminal stranger to live with you. But the truth is, there was great joy in it. And the only way that I found out the great joy was by trusting the prompt and following it. You know, so I had a guy call me today. He wanted to talk today, and he was talking about how resistant he is to Holy Spirit's guidance. He actually has a very strong intuition, so he feels pretty clear on what the guidance is. He doesn't feel like he's confused about what the guidance is. He just doesn't want to do it. And so we were talking about that, and I said, well, you know, Holy Spirit just wants to bring you to joy as soon as possible. And I said, and sometimes, you know, we don't want joy as soon as possible. We want our way more, you know, the idea that I'm going to do it my way. But the truth is, that's what Holy Spirit wants, is Holy Spirit wants to bring us to our joy. So if we can recognize our guidance and remember that that's really what Holy Spirit wants, you know, when you're looking at your guidance without 20/20 hindsight, you might not understand how is this going to bring me joy. But if you just trust it and remember that's what Holy Spirit wants and follow it, what happens is we become what I would call more and more hooked on wanting to follow guidance. Because we start learning that Holy Spirit actually knows better than we do what our joy is. And so then you start wanting to really follow it. And that again has to do with these words that Holy Spirit is the final authority. But that final authority comes from our own choice. As we learn to follow guidance and then we see over and over and over again the joy that comes from it, well, we surrender into that final authority. We choose that final authority because we learn from contrast that really our way wasn't quite as good. You know, it didn't bring us the same joys or that same level of satisfaction. So, but then what happens as we continue to follow Spirit more and more and more is there comes a point where we cease to see an our will and a Spirit's will. It's like they merge in. We may still feel prompts, intuitive prompts guiding us as to what to do, but we know immediately that's our will. We no longer see that as Spirit's will. And when we start realizing that Spirit's will is our will, that's when we begin to abide as Spirit, right? Because if you have the same will, then you are the same one. You only appear to be separate ones when you appear to have separate wills. So the more we surrender, the more we realize Spirit's will is bringing us joy. And the more we realize Spirit's will is bringing us joy, the more we realize, well, that's my true will then. That's what I really want because it always makes me happy. And then there ceases to be a Spirit in me. There's just this oneness, and that's when we can abide as Spirit. We become Spirit, you know, just living it, just being it. So that's what this last part of Acts chapter 11 is talking about. being it. So NTI Acts chapter 12 then, we'll go ahead and start that.
Before you go there,
yes, ma'am.
The joy, like, it says it comes directly from the authority of the Spirit, and it is known in you by its joy and its authority. I guess I'm having a little trouble for myself, you know, because I think I experience it, but then I'm thinking the joy is supposed to be spectacular, fireworks, you know, whatever. And joy could be, I'm thinking now, more a sense of feeling good and a sense of peace and a sense of alrightness, a sense of freedom, liberation.
Contentment would be another word I would use.
So I guess I want to clarify in my mind, because joy has been after me for a long time. I even have a great big block, wooden block, joy, because joy has just been following me. And I think I have, give meaning to a word. What's the other word? I'm losing the word. Defining a word joy incorrectly all this time. I'm thinking I haven't, joy's been after me and I haven't found it. It hasn't come to me. But I'm beginning to realize that the way I was defining joy is not really the real joy.
Yeah. No, I find that, you know, I think it's Eckhart Tolle who once talked about, I don't know if he used the word bliss, but it would be the same thing as joy. And he once talked about how under certain circumstances, you know, there's just so much bliss. But then he said, but you know, that's not always maintained. He says nobody can stay at that high level of bliss. And so it kind of comes down to this more constant, you know, what I would call contentment. You know, and so he talked about that, how there can seem to be, you know, these surges of great bliss, but it's not always like that, is the way Eckhart Tolle described it. It's more just this contentment, this inner happiness, you know, and it can be kind of a gentle, quiet happiness. I think Byron Katie, I think I saw her a couple weeks ago, and in fact, in that moment, she wasn't smiling at all. Because, you know, if you know Byron Katie, she can sometimes have a very stern look on her face. And so she had this stern look while she was talking to this interviewer, and she said, you know, there's always an inner smile in me. You know, so that's what she was talking about. Even though she was looking stern and serious, you know, there's just this inner smile in her. You know, she never feels the way she may appear. You know, she feels this inner smile just all the time. I know I feel the inner smile a lot. You know, sometimes Jasmine will crack me up because she'll call me mean, and I'm like, mean. You know, I know what mean is because I remember when I used to feel mean. You know, and I don't feel that anymore. You know, you know, so sometimes I guess I'm overly serious, I appear overly serious, or I'm being very direct, telling her exactly what I want. But I have that same inner smile. You know, I'm just happy, I'm just content, everything is okay. You know, it's not very often. Every now and then something will come up that I feel a resistance to. But most of the time, I'm okay, really okay with just whatever is. Like, I don't need anything to be different. And I would call that joy.
See, I'm beginning to think I have been experiencing joy and I have not acknowledged it because I was thinking it had to be this high bliss.
High bliss, yeah.
And now I see that it has been with me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so NTI Acts chapter 12, we're still continuing on the authority topic. The authority of the world is confusion and illusion, which is no authority at all. And yet, because you have made no authority and called it authority, you place yourself within a prison you have made. You are victim to your own invention, forgetting entirely that the invention is yours to choose or to unmake. This is why you have the Holy Spirit. And this is why the Holy Spirit is kept within your mind. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that will not accept illusions as true. The Holy Spirit is the part of you that knows its freedom and will not surrender it. And so the Holy Spirit is the part of you that remains sane, and focused in reality, while the other part of your mind chooses to experience delusion. That must mean that the Holy Spirit is the part of you that is also the road back unto your truth when your fun with illusions has ended. So that's an important paragraph, you know, at least it was for me, and I think it is for many people, because of the idea of Holy Spirit, you know, just the words and the idea of Holy Spirit as it shows up in Christian theology, we tend to think of Holy Spirit as something separate from us. And this alone keeps some people from surrendering to Holy Spirit. In fact, I made a post in Facebook just a couple days ago about how, you know, one thing I notice in myself, you know, sometimes I'm really good at surrendering and sometimes I'm not. I still do that. And what I notice is when I'm not surrendered, the most common thing that I notice is that I waste time. I waste time when I'm not surrendered. I'll be on Facebook too long, or I'll go back and forth from Facebook to email to some random internet search. I'm just wasting time. And when I'm surrendered, I never waste time. Surrender has never once guided me to waste time. Isn't that amazing? It's not bullying, but it's effective. You know, it always keeps me doing something effective, and it even lets me rest. But the way it rests, it's different than wasting time. It's just different. So I made a post about that. I made a post about how I made that observation that, you know, if I'm not surrendered, I waste a lot of time. And that when I am surrendered, I never waste time. And one person made a comment that she's decided surrender isn't necessary, which is fine. But in her comment, what she said was, the reason that she has decided this is because whenever she attempts surrender, all she experiences is fear. So, you know, I didn't say anything back to her because she wasn't asking for any help. And when people aren't asking for help, I don't comment. So I didn't comment. But what I realized was she's not surrendering because she still has this fear that Holy Spirit is separate from her. And that one of two things is going to happen. Either Spirit's going to guide her to do things she doesn't want to do, or the other fear that often comes up is that she's not worthy enough to hear it and that she won't hear guidance. And because she's afraid she won't hear guidance, she just prefers not to ask. But it's definitely fear that's keeping her away from surrender. And whatever the exact theme of that fear is, the core idea is that Holy Spirit is separate from her. See, if she knew that what Holy Spirit really is her own sanity, the part of her that truly knows her own best interest, the part of her that truly knows how to make her happy, she would not be afraid to listen to it. She's only afraid to listen to it because she thinks it's separate from her. And so either she's worried it will guide her to do what she doesn't want to do, or she's worried that she's not worthy to hear it and she doesn't want to even try because then that will prove how unworthy she is if she doesn't hear. So this paragraph is very important because what this paragraph is emphasizing over and over and over again is that Holy Spirit is not some light being character outside of you. Holy Spirit's a part of your mind. It's a part of you. It's the part of you that did not surrender to illusions. It's the part of you that stayed sane and in touch with truth. But if it's not separate from you, it can't really have a will apart from yours. Which is why when you do surrender to it and you do learn about the joy that comes from it, that's why eventually you kind of merge into it. Even that's a symbol. You're not really merging into it. What you're doing is you're realizing, ah, yeah, that's my true will. Ah, yeah, that's who I really am. Ah, yeah, that's my right mind. You know, you're realizing that's me, right? And you start wanting to be you instead of this false identity that you were walking around thinking you were. Because there's a whole lot more satisfaction in being the real you, which is love. Peace Pilgrim called it being in harmony with yourself. You know, that's what she called it instead of surrender. She just called it being in harmony with yourself. When you're not surrendered, you're actually out of harmony with your true self. And of course that's going to create some kind of inner conflict if you're out of harmony with yourself. When you're in harmony with yourself, there's no conflict. That's where the contentment, the joy, the everything's okayness comes from, because you are now in a state of inner harmony. So it's a very important paragraph, pointing out that Holy Spirit is a part of your mind that has not accepted illusions as true, that knows its freedom and has not given it up, remains absolutely sane and focused on reality, and knows the road back for you to that part of you. So, sentence 10. You are not in chains from which you cannot be freed by the will of your own Holy Spirit. But your Spirit, loving you as yourself, also gives you permission to stay within your dreams until you are ready to get up and walk away from them. Your Holy Spirit waits for you to make the decision of yourself, and then it steps forward to show you that you are free. It leads you beyond the obstacles you thought were real to show you that they were not. So again, this part of your mind, knowing who you are, doesn't force you to return to it. So you have the freedom. In fact, I talked about this with this man on the phone this morning. You have the freedom to say no to guidance, you know, because that was his issue, is that he knows guidance, but he just doesn't want to do it, and he feels guilty about that. And I said, well, maybe what you need to do right now is just go ahead and not follow it, but notice that you're not guilty. Notice that you have the freedom not to follow guidance, and then pay attention and find out if, you know, your choices are making you happy, you know, or if you had followed guidance, what might have happened, and, you know, and just kind of pay attention. But, you know, maybe you need to go ahead and not follow guidance and just notice that you're not guilty for that. Because we're not. Following guidance is a choice. It's like there's a recommendation there. That's what guidance really is. It's a recommendation. But we have the right to turn down that recommendation. It's just that eventually we'll learn that when we follow those recommendations, that's where our joy is. And so it's not really smart to not follow guidance, but you have the freedom to not follow guidance. And even Spirit is not judging you for that. So there's no reason for you to judge you for that. Right? You're absolutely free to make any choice you want to make at any time. Completely free. Sentence 14. When you awaken to the truth and remembrance of reality, there shall be great rejoicing within heaven. Not because you were lost, for you never were, but because you have found yourself again. Know that the Holy Spirit is yours and is you, and so it is within you. It is your own guide that leads you from the prison you have made to the freedom that you are. Seek no place else except within. Seek within your own heart for that which you want, and ask it to lead you to your place of freedom. Then go with it as it asks, doing as it commands, seeking not for another way to be free. For it is your Holy Spirit that remembers freedom for you. And so it is your Holy Spirit that will lead you to return to it there. So again, the recommendation here is that we do follow guidance. But again, that's not because we're guilty if we don't. It's just because our guidance is what's going to bring us true happiness. You know, and the best way to find that out is to test it, right? To follow it. The world is a frightening place because the world is a place of fear. A place of fear must be frightening, and a place of fear must be a place of defense and attack. But defense and attack are not the answer to fear. Defense and attack are the reaction of fear, born from fear and extending fear within itself. Fear is never the answer to fear. Fear cast upon fear breeds death, which is the birth of fear. So now what Holy Spirit is talking about is, you know, if we are choosing to not follow guidance and to follow our ego, if we really pay attention, our ego is involved in a lot of defense and attack. You know, I mean, most of us aren't there in physical fighting, but in some way we're defending ourself, and in some way we are attacking others, even if it's just within the stories that go on in our mind and we never in any way even speak them, right? And what the ego is really telling us is that this defense and attack is going to bring us happiness. That if we can attack enough and defend enough, eventually we'll rise above it all. And what this is just saying, that's insane. There's no way that you can use defense and attack to overcome defense and attack. there's no way you can use fear to overcome fear. So if you really want to rise above it all, you need to surrender to the voice that's guiding with love, that's not guiding with defense and attack. Defense and attack is never, ever going to work. Step away from the cycle of fear. Choose to follow me. I will lead you from your prison to the truth of your freedom and the awareness of your joy. And of course, we'll stop there because we did two whole chapters tonight, but they were short and they were closely linked. But the assignment, we always look for an assignment. And I suppose the assignment is what I'm going to call a subtle assignment, just something we just kind of want to keep in the back of our mind as much as possible this week, is that guidance is the path to joy. And just by keeping that idea in the mind, guidance is the path to joy, what we're really doing internally is that we are giving our willingness to become more aware of guidance and to make the choice to follow guidance. So it's kind of like we're throwing our willingness at the choice to follow guidance by remembering that guidance is the path to our joy. You know, most people think that surrender is how you get God's approval. That's not the purpose of surrender. The purpose of surrender is not to get God's approval. You don't need to get God's approval. The purpose of surrender is to return to your true self, is to return to being in harmony with yourself. Therefore, it is the path to your joy. So just kind of carry that thought, you know, let yourself think that thought this week and just spend time with that thought. That's the assignment. So a very subtle assignment. So what I'll do now is go ahead and stop the recorder, and then we'll do our little bit of silence.